This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations on getting to your 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is happy to be here as well. Nick Schwartz is here as well. I don't know why Nick is here. Maybe he's mad about the last time that Nick and I talked. And Nick has actually been avoiding me. I tried to patch things up with Nick. Nick is a friend of mine. I care about Nick. We have serious conversations. At least we did used to have serious conversations, but this decision has really put a wedge in our friendship. Normally we wouldn't promote KU propaganda on this show, but you know what? You're my guy. I care about you. I want your podcast to have success. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You can check it out.
Thanks, Nick. We appreciate it. That's Nick Schwartz right there, host of the Wave in the Wee podcast. He and I haven't spoken since. I tried to go up to him. I tried to dap him up. He gave me the cold shoulder. He didn't really want to engage with me. Didn't really want to have typical office banter. I hope that, you know, now that both of our teams are out of the tournament, we can move past these actions and regain our friendship and rekindle the flame. But Nick, you know, communication is a two-way street. Two people have to be willing to work on it. And I'm not getting the sense that he cares a whole lot about putting in work in our relationship. So before we get to the hits, let's talk about one thing that we were talking about earlier. Rob, they got a lot of people all riled up. So in my group chat last night, everyone was watching the WBC. The tournament's not going on right now. There's no football. Wasn't really a whole lot of NBA talk yesterday in my group chat. And this is me and six of my really close guy friends. Everybody was saying, hey, the WBC is lit. Turn it on. All right, cool. I'll watch it. You know, everybody's watching it. You know, kind of chime in the conversation. Cool. Let's watch it. And I was waiting for the moment that everybody was waiting for. I wanted to see Shohei Ohtani go up against Mike Trout. They're teammates. They're the two best players of their generation. This is a high-level, high-stakes situation. Mike Trout has been waiting for a moment like this. This is an important baseball game that Mike Trout is playing in. That has not happened for him since 2014. I was getting really intrigued by it. All right, let's see what happens here. Well, Mike Trout struck out, and that was the end of the series, the end of the game in Japan. They are the winners of the WBC. And I begin to think more and more about it. And it was the voice of Sean Barber. I could hear it. It was flowing through my body. He always just talks about the computer box and how everything we talk about sports simply can't be what they do on the computer. You have to be able to touch it. It has to be tangible. You have to be able to see it, touch it, hold it, feel it. And then I start to think more about Mike Trout's career. And Mike Trout has not done one single thing that we care about. I'm not denying that Mike Trout is a great baseball player. He is one of the greatest baseball players to ever live. Three MVPs, 10 All-Star games. Mike Trout's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mike Trout has been amazing in his career. But isn't part of sports the memories that are created from him? But that's part of it, right? Patrick Mahomes is the greatest, not just because his numbers are great, but because Patrick Mahomes has created incredible moments, not just in playoff games, The fourth down pass against the Ravens is not in the playoffs. It's a great memory. The left-handed throw against the Broncos, I understand that there's fewer football games, so the memories just mean a little bit more. But Mike Trout in his baseball career has not had one single hit that people remember. He has not had one stolen base, one home run, one catch. He has not done anything on the baseball field that people talk about and will remember. He has not done anything to resonate with us as fans. We all acknowledge that he's a great baseball player, but what else has he done? You were mentioning Griffey earlier. Griffey did things that you felt, that you remember. It was an experience with Ken Griffey Jr. I know you hate Derek Jeter. Anybody, think of Derek Jeter right now. Derek Jeter is not the greatest shortstop of all time. You can't think of a baseball player who has created more memories and more moments than he did. Mike Trout doesn't have any of those things. He's the greatest athlete that we have ever seen that doesn't have any of those moments. And if he was a football player or a basketball player, the way we would discuss Mike Trout and talk about him would be drastically different. He'd be a guy that put up a lot of points on a team that didn't win anything. That's who he'd be. So Mike Trout's great. I don't deny Mike Trout's great. Mike Trout, if you play fantasy baseball, I'm sure you love Mike Trout. You take him number one every year. He hits your 30 home runs. He hits your 105 RBIs. I'm sure Mike Trout has won you a lot of money in your life. That is it. It has just been numbers on the computer. He does not have a single hit you remember. He has not done anything in his baseball career you remember. And if Mike Trout said, I am retiring and I'm done playing baseball, we would not talk about it tomorrow afternoon. Nobody would. It'd be over. He's not even a 24-hour news cycle guy. He's not even that. A guy who has won MVP three times. Today, if he just said, hey, I'm done playing baseball, I'm tired, I want to spend time, it'd be a really big deal tonight. They talk about it on the morning television shows, and that would be it. It'd be done by 2 o'clock tomorrow. That's Mike Trout. He's just saying, okay, all right, yeah. He's got a great job. Never plays in meaningful games, never has meaningful hits, makes a whole lot of money, doesn't get blamed for anything that happens, could just live in anonymity even though he lives in Los Angeles. I can't think of an athlete that has it better than he does. It's amazing. He might have the best job in sports. I'd love to be Mike Trout. You don't face any pressure, no criticism, make all the money in the world, and everybody loves you despite not really actually loving you. Yeah, it's great. Phenomenal. Go to your Eagles games, hang out with Bradley Cooper. I'm sure it's a fantastic life.
I think the news cycle will be more than you think. But that's because of his statistical greatness. The highlights they show would look like generic baseball, which is a real problem for baseball, that its most transcendent player looks ho-hum. Patrick Mahomes, the most transcendent football player, he has moments you go, wow. But we also get to all see those moments. We can go ask someone in Seattle. We can go ask someone in New York. We can go ask someone in Miami. The four corners of America. Be like, hey, what's your Mahomes memory? They'll have an answer. That's because football's able to be seen. Mike Trout is not seen like that because baseball is impossible to see on a national level.
I know we say that, though, but I don't think that would be the case with Aaron Judge. Now, that's the difference in Judge plays for the biggest team in the sport, and he doesn't. But Aaron Judge is a legitimate star. Aaron Judge could host SNL. Like Aaron Judge last year, you were keeping up with them. People were mad because they were cutting into college football games so you could watch Aaron Judge. Like last year, you remember, people were mad. It was the fourth quarter of a major college football game, and ESPN thought it was important enough to show you Aaron Judge last year. We've never done that with Mike Trout, not one single time.
But to be fair, and I'm gonna stay in the sport, does Clayton Kershaw have any of those moments? Now, Clayton Kershaw has a ring, but it's a COVID ring, so grain of salt.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw is a phenomenal pitcher. What's your pitchers are different. I get that. What's your Clayton Kershaw memory?
But I think what Clayton Kershaw is going to be remembered for is how many times he came up short in the postseason, though. Like, that's honestly what Clayton Kershaw, like, we all identify how good Clayton Kershaw is, but the big thing with him is, hey, for how good you've been, why? Like, we talk about Clayton Kershaw like he's an NBA player. We talk about Clayton Kershaw like he's an NFL player, like he's a quarterback. Hey, well, you put up all these numbers in the regular season, but it has a trend. We talk about Clayton Kershaw like he's Lamar Jackson. We talk about Mike Trout like he's just There's not a single American athlete we treat like Mike Trout. Not a single one. People are telling me they think he's the greatest baseball player of all time. Well, give me a hit then. Tell me a hit that you remember Mike Trout had that has stuck with you and why he's the greatest of all time. There's 50 million Tom Brady memories that you have. Patrick Mahomes creates memories every week in the National Football League. We can't think of one Mike Trout moment. Not a single one. Not a hit, not a stolen base, nothing. It's a great life. It's a phenomenal life. So, yes, I'm watching the WBC, and, hey, this is a moment. You say you don't play in big baseball games. This is a big baseball game. You're up against the best pitcher in the world. Strikes out. Nah, it's not a big deal. Nah, it's not your fault. You know, it's cool. That's just not how we treat American athletes. Mike Trout gets treated that way. It's just unique. He's the only one that gets treated this way. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
The hits. Getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
Well, Carrington, as always, hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car auto repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, the top story of the day in Kansas City is the Chiefs, kind of, sort of, as former Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman today signed a contract to become a New York Jet. The contract is a one-year deal, important language here, worth up to $6.5 million. Carrington, with that contract, the fact that Chiefs didn't match it, is it fair to say the Chiefs didn't want Mecole Hardman and the Legion of Zoom back in KC?
I think it's more than fair. I think it's an accurate statement. Like, you ask, is it fair? Like, there's arguments on the other side. Rob, he signed for peanuts. I'm assuming his base is relatively low. But the fact that they were big on the, well, it's up to 6.5. What do we think Mecole Hardman's base is? $2 million? Maybe $3 million? They probably gave you $3 million and they give you the opportunity to earn the other half of it over the course of the regular season. You signed for nothing. The Chiefs didn't want you back. The Chiefs didn't want Juju back at the market. They also didn't want Mecole Hardman back, which I've been saying this entire time, not that I deserve some kind of Nobel Peace Prize for it or anything, but I don't think that it was a good situation for Mecole Hardman. You need to be in a completely different offense. You've been in the Chiefs offense. We kind of know what it looks like. They've replaced you. Sky Moore is going to be more involved next year. Kadarius Toney is going to be more involved next year. So if you're Mecole Hardman, you're maybe the third option for some of those things. Like, literally today, this happened today, Rob. Adam Schefter put out the information. He then retweeted and put, the Jets have a guy to do jet sweep. That's literally what Adam Schefter, the number one NFL reporter, put. And then Mecole Hardman retweeted and said, I do more than just jet sweeps. Not in the Chiefs offense, you don't. That was your role. You were the gadget play, misdirection, screen play. They have that guy on their team. They have that guy on a rookie contract. So there just wasn't really any room for him to be there. He's now moved on. Good luck to him. I hope he balls out this year in the Jets and puts himself in a place to make a lot of money long term. But that just wasn't going to happen in Kansas City.
Well, Carrington, to my knowledge, at least for the first time since signing with another team, Juju Smith-Schuster spoke to the media. He was on Radio 98.5 in Boston earlier today. He said this about why he chose to go to New England over Kansas City.
Belichick, man, the guy, you know, just the want and the need and, you know, the position that I can fill there, you know, really, really brought my, like, caught my attention. And I felt that, like, that was the most thing, you know, like, feeling wanted in a place where, you know, I played against, you know, a head coach where, you know, I have a lot of respect for. And I just think that goes a long way.
C-Dot, that last part there, he said he just wanted to play in a place where he felt wanted. Considering he got literal market value in contract, are you surprised the Chiefs didn't match and that he's out here spouting about feeling wanted by the Patriots?
I don't know. You use spouting there in a very disrespectful tone towards Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he's just... This is what I think happened. We can fade the music now. Cut the beat for this. This is what I think happened. You tell me if you think I'm off on this, Rob. I want you to be part of this hit. This is what I think happened with Juju. I think the season was over. I think both sides like the other party. I think Juju likes the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs like Juju. I think the Chiefs have a number set in their mind on how much they're willing to pay Juju Smith-Schuster. And like they do with other free agents, they said, hey, we'll sign you for this amount. If that amount doesn't work, you bring us the other offer. Maybe we'll match it. Maybe we won't. No hard feelings if you take the other offer. I think there was a little bit of a market for Juju. And then he started to narrow in on the two teams that he was going to play for. I believe he went to the Chiefs and asked them if they would match the offer. And if so, they would come back. It's a reasonable offer. It's not like Juju signed some contract that is astronomical. This wasn't Christian Kirk's deal. I mean, Christian Kirk signed a deal, I would understand why you would walk away from his contract. That's not what happened with Juju Smith-Schuster. This is just the market. Juju Smith-Schuster signs a 3-year, $25 million deal. He got a $7.9 million signing bonus and $16 million guaranteed. This is a 2-year contract with a 1-year we'll see option. In the third year of the deal, the Patriots will save $8 million if they cut Juju Smith-Schuster. They will save $8 million if they do it. So it's really, we guarantee for the next 2 years we want you on the team. We'll give you $16 million to do it. And after that, we'll see you'll be 29 years old. I'm just surprised that the Chiefs didn't really want to match that deal. It's a nothing signing bonus. It's a very small guarantee. And the Chiefs weren't interested. That's why I asked the question, what kind of receiver are they looking for? Because I think Juju is the kind of receiver, like, if Juju hadn't played on the team last year, let's say that he was a member of the Los Angeles Chargers. Let me use my Chargers as the example. And we're talking about a guy who last year had 70 catches for 950 yards and also played well in the postseason. I think fans would be like, go sign him, go get him. Well, the Chiefs had that guy on their roster and they didn't go get him. If he was on another team, I think there would be more of a, the same way people are saying, go get DJ Chark, or the same way people are saying, go get Odell Beckham. If Juju had played on the Bills last year, I think people would be really wanting the Chiefs to go get him. So I just don't really know right now what kind of receiver they're looking for. I don't think they're looking for the speed kind of receiver like McCole. They had a chance to sign him. They chose not to sign him, which makes sense to me. If you're looking for a possession guy, more of a bigger receiver that's willing to go over the middle of the field, that was Juju. You didn't want to pay him. It's not really their track record to go get the older wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins. That's why I'm just starting to think more and more that maybe there's a trade there that I'm just missing. That as we get closer to the draft, the Chiefs trade a second-round pick, a third-round pick that can turn into a second-round pick, and then they go get a legitimate veteran wide receiver. Because the market for wide receiver, it's almost over now at this point. If you don't think they're getting Odell Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins, other than DJ Chark, I don't know if there's a lot of names out there that are free agents or obvious trade pieces. And maybe something pops up here in the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks as we get ready for the draft where a team has already gone through their evaluations. They see where they are at wide receiver and they're willing to part ways with a guy because they don't want to pay him.
Three.
Well, Carrington, earlier today, you pointed out an article you saw online from Bill Conley saying that to get more mid-majors into the tournament, it might be a good idea to expand from 68 to 96 because stories like Fairleigh Dickinson, Princeton, and more are just the reason that makes the tournament great. Are you a proponent? Are you a fan? Are you a supporter of Tiger Blood Bill Conley's idea to promote this tournament to near 100 teams and go to 96?
All right, let's close out the hour with this. Let's close out the hour with this. I'm not 100% opposed to the idea of expanding the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's a terrible idea. From a pure basketball standpoint, I think there's 96 capable teams for this tournament. I don't think you water down the tournament by doing this. Sure, you would let in some Power 5 teams that I'd kind of be looking at like, eh. Like, I don't know what North Carolina did over the course of the regular season that should warrant them inclusion into this tournament. You have had all the opportunities in the world to make the tournament, and you missed it. So I don't really feel bad that North Carolina wasn't included in the tournament. But let's say that you added 25 teams, 27 teams. I think we'd see what decent handful of those teams would be your disappointing Power 5 teams? It'd be your Oklahoma States. It'd be your Texas Tech. It'd be those kind of teams that would make the tournament. North Carolina this year. Rutgers would have made it. But we also would create a situation where 8 to 10 of those teams would be mid-majors, would be Yale, would be Wichita State. And haven't we seen that those teams are more viable than ever before? Those teams are more capable of making a run than we've ever seen before. So I think the tournament would have more buzzer beaters, more upsets, more intrigue, more excitement. I'm not really questioning the basketball part of those weekends. This is where my pushback would be. Number one, that's a lot of teams to fill out on a bracket. Like the bracket right now, the way that it looks, the way that it is constructed, is perfect. It all fits on one sheet. It doesn't look too, hey, you got to pick these games. It's so easy. Adding 30 teams to it now just feels like a chore. You're adding more teams that we don't know, more teams that we weren't watching in the regular season. It just seems like a lot of work that I'm not sure everybody would want to sign up for. So that's number one. It just seems like a chore to do. Number two, you completely kill the college basketball regular season. Like, I think the college basketball regular season has already been devalued and is so much about the tournament. If every single team, essentially, that we watch makes the tournament, it just devalues the regular season. The last thing, Rob, I don't know if CBS wants it to go much longer than it does. They've got a really good three-weekend system that they have right now that leads you right into the Masters. So we know the tournament is not going to end on the weekend that the Masters is. CBS has no interest in doing that. So we know that. So I just don't know how many more weekends you could do it. Could you add one more weekend? But think about this year. So let's say that this year you had pushed the tournament, so the actual 64 part of the tournament, you pushed everything back a week and then you added another week of the tournament. We think they want Final Four weekend on Easter? Because that's what would happen. If you pushed the tournament back 1 week, it would be the Saturday before Easter and the Monday after Easter. I don't know if that's what you want as a television company, those games on that weekend when it's such a big family travel. I don't think you want that. So I think there's a lot of logistics and problems with expanding the tournament. I don't think it would suffer that much from a basketball perspective. It would just be more of the games that we currently have. I don't think that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. I'm also not sure if the tournament is that much better by expanding it either. So if I had to pick, hey, Carrington, would you expand the tournament? I would argue no on expanding the tournament, but I do think it's an interesting conversation.
To your point about the regular season, I actually agree with you, but let me just take the other side here for funsies. Wouldn't it create a system that we have now in college football where we have those early season college football matchups that we love? We have Notre Dame, Ohio State. We have Bama, Florida State. We have Georgia, Oregon. Games we get fired up about in September that essentially have no value. A loss there and you're not knocked out of the chance to make the college football playoff, and a win isn't going to dramatically affect your chance either. It's just fun week one, week two fodder. Honestly, Missouri, Kansas State is a little bit of the same thing. We like it because it creates more fun matchups, but there's no real penalty for losing. Couldn't expanding to 96 create that same system? Couldn't a Missouri, instead of 9 non-con games against the absolute dregs of college basketball, have scheduled an Oregon, a Georgetown? I know they were terrible this year, but maybe they'll be good with Ed Cooley. An Ohio State.
You probably could do 1-2 more of those games, sure.
And wouldn't that enhance the sport? In November, we're not talking about, hey, KU's got a big one this weekend. It's against William and Mary. We've been talking about, man, KU's got a big one this weekend. It's UCLA. And then on the nightcap, we got Missouri against Oregon. Boy, that would be fun to talk about and would actually boost the sport so that it's not just a March conversation, it's a November conversation. Isn't there a world where the non-con is so improved by this that we actually are more intrigued by basketball for a longer time?
You know what would really improve the regular season? Start forcing teams to play other teams. Why does Missouri not play Kansas State every single year? We don't have to expand the tournament. Missouri and K-State used to be in the same tournament. The same way that Missouri plays Kansas every year, they should play Kansas State every year. Start making Missouri play SLU. Do that. That could improve the interest in college basketball, could it not? Like, there's already a fix. Start making teams play each other. Hey, if you want to improve the regular season and make it more fun, then just do it. That's all you got to do. No, there's no other real work required. Just start having the games that we want in the regular season. Everybody will be happy. Coming up on the other side, we will give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to opening day. All you need to do is keep listening through the break. We'll also talk about K-State as they find themselves in the Sweet 16. That's all coming up. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and friend of the show, Andy Reid.
I can't believe you're waiting that long for that question.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only place in town to hear the hypothetical button game is on The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
We were talking about the possible expansion of the NCAA tournament. I'd be against it, but I don't think it'd be the worst thing that could happen. I mean, it would certainly make the regular season of college basketball less enjoyable. I think the bracket process would also be less enjoyable, but I also just don't fill out brackets. I don't think the tournament would be nearly as much fun if they expanded the tournament. It's just, it's too much. It's, you got to know the 17 seeds. It's just way too much. Bob wanted to chime in on this. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, Carrington. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem.
Listen, I think I want to run this by you, see what you think. I think this would help you out a lot. If we kept the 68 bracket, team bracket, and we created a 32-team bracket for the smaller schools. They play to their final four in each bracket. You start it on Monday with the smaller schools and then start up the tournament with the 68-team bracket on Thursday. So they're running. And then when you get to the final four in each bracket, you combine them and make it an 18 playoff. And I think that'd bring the excitement back. You'd have a full week of basketball. If you didn't want to participate in the second bracket, you don't have to. You don't want to watch those games, you don't have to. You still got your 68 going.
No, Bob, I appreciate the idea. My question to this, Rob, is a simple one. Why do we, like, this is, right now we're trying to solve a problem that I don't think there is a problem. The tournament's just fine the way that it is. I don't watch the NCAA tournament and wish that it was any different than what it is. I never was watching the NFL playoffs and felt like we needed to add a seventh team. It was perfectly fine with 12. I don't really see the, other than greed, I don't know why there's a need to expand the NCAA tournament. It seems like just having basketball games for the sake of having more basketball games. We get enough. There are 67 games in this NCAA tournament. We got enough. I'm fine. There's more than enough basketball. I don't think that we need to try to figure out all these different ways to make a tournament work that is already working so well.
I mean, I feel like we are just trying our hardest to devalue the regular season because college basketball is sadly a one-month sport. And no offense to Bill Connelly, I'm not saying he's this, but I think everyone's trying to create more fun in March because they don't watch the sport in January. Me and you watch college basketball in December, in January, in February. We were talking about that Mizzou KU game on this show a lot leading into that week. Mizzou was what, 9-1, KU was 9-1. It was going to be great. I think the average fan does not watch college basketball in December. They don't watch it in January. They don't watch it in February, maybe at the end of February. So everyone is trying to find a way to, hey, how can we make March better and more exciting and bigger and da 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 da. You know the best way to do that? Watch the teams in January. The basketball's different. It's not as one and done, you know, chew your fingernails. But there are good college games in January. When did Mizzou have that walk-off win in Knoxville? That was a good basketball game.
It was.
The average person has no idea it happened because it wasn't in March. Let's stop trying to make March a super spectacular event, and let's just watch the whole season. We do it with every other sport.
Do we?
We do with the NFL. We do with every other college sport. That's fair.
Do we?
Every other college sport we do it with.
That's a great point. I don't know if we do that with every other sport. I don't know if that's the case. Rob, let me ask you this question. So I want to go through the Chiefs 2019 draft. I just want to go through it. I want to read it, and I want your opinion on this draft because we now have seen that only one of the players that they drafted in 2019 is still currently on the team. Mecole Hardman just signed a deal today with the New York Jets. Juan Thornhill signed a deal last week. I believe it was with the Cleveland Browns. Colin Saunders signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. I don't know what team Rashad Fenton is on. I'm not sure if I should know what team Rashad Fenton is on. I don't believe Darwin Thompson's still in the league. Nick Allegretti, he's back. He is a rotational offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. They had 6 draft picks, Rob. Next season, fair to say that none of them will be contributors on the team. But when they were here, Mecole Hardman was part of your offense, and I think he was fine. I think he was a good, capable third wide receiver. Juan Thornhill was a starter on a championship defense. Colin Saunders was a very solid rotational piece last year with the team. Fenton was good in the beginning of his career, but kind of tailed off. And, hey, you got out of that, so I'm not mad at the Rashad Fenton. Darwin Thompson, you took a little bit of a swing. It didn't work. That's the game. You drafted a running back in the 6th round, the ultimate lottery ticket. It's not going to cash sometimes, but if you keep drafting running backs in the 6th round, eventually – you hit on a really productive one. You drafted one in the 7th round. Look, it hit with Isaiah Pacheco. And again, Allegretti, a rotational offensive lineman. I would give this class, I give it a B-. I think this is a solid class. It's not a great class by any means. You do get knocked a little bit that I would say none of the players, maybe outside of Colin Saunders, really reach their ceiling with you. And you're going to go into a year in which, I mean, not that long ago, 4 drafts ago, where none of them are currently on your team and contributing. But you drafted 2 starters out of that. Colin Saunders, a good rotational piece. Allegretti's still on the roster. I'd give that draft a B- grade now, in hindsight.
I get a C+. And for a lot of the reasons you said, I'm just a little bit a harsher grader. But I am going to ding the Chiefs. I'm going to critique the Chiefs. You know how I feel about second contracts. I love them. Sign me up for second contracts, especially from premium draft positions. I think your 1st, 2nd, and 3rd round picks should be at premium positions, and they should have a second contract with your team. The Chiefs did not get a player drafted that hit a second contract. Mecole Hardman, now a Jet. Juan Thornhill, now a Brown. Colin Saunders, now a Saint. You in the top 3 rounds did not hit to the level that you thought we need to retain that guy because he's so good. And I would also say, while Colin Saunders had a really good 2022, he was an important defensive player on a defense that won the Super Bowl. Credit to him. The first 3 years of his contract also count. And the first 3 years, he was healthy DNP almost every week. He was practice squad rotation guy. He was not real rotation guy.
That's fair.
So I think people get a little bit of blinded by the recency bias, and they say, well, Colin Saunders was good recently. He was also terrible for the first 3 years. So when that's your 2 second round and 3rd round picks, I'm going to ding you for it. You found a star in Allegretti, and you were able to turn Fenton into a pick that you can maybe do something with later. There's a lot of maneuvering. I get it. I give it a C+.
Yeah, you and I are about the same then. B-, C+, that's in the range. I'm giving it like an 82. You're giving it a 79. We're in the same range here. I can't be too mad at that. I think it's a little bit better than you, but I'm not gonna push back super hard. I'm not gonna push back super hard.
I mean, it's a draft full of rotation guys, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good draft. Yeah. You're not gonna walk around an F. You got a passing grade. You know, it's one of those things where, like, oh, I didn't study for the final. But you got a C+, you're not upset. But you're also not, like, sticking it on the fridge at home being like, yo, I got an A. Nailed it. It's just chugging along.
Coming up on the other side, we'll give you one final chance to win this four-pack of tickets. At least be registered today. Tomorrow you'll have a handful of chances, and then that's it. Then we'll announce a winner. Be listening to The Drive when you hear the Royals sounder. Rob, play it. Rob, like Mike Trout in the WBC.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Rob caught looking. Be caller number 6. Be registered to win a 4-pack of tickets plus a parking pass to opening day. We will announce the winner tomorrow on the show. It's your last chance today to register. So I want you listening. I want you to call here in just a little bit and take your chance to win. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Subscribe and download to the Character Concerns podcast right now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I have a question first, and then we'll get back to the sports thing. Rob, you want to know the food that I have gotten really into in 2023? Italian food.
Really?
I was never really Mr. Italian food guy. You know me. I'll go get a steak. I love tacos. I've really turned into Mr. Italian food guy. So all I need now is just some new ideas of places, because I don't really know a lot of the other spots. Like, I've been to Garozzo's a few times this year. I've been to a couple other places. I've been to Anthony's on Grant. I don't know a whole lot of the other places to go to. So if there are some Italian places in the city that you really like, I would just like for you guys to suggest it to me. 913-586-7610. I'm looking to expand. I don't need expansion on taco places. I don't need expansion on steak places, sushi, foods that I normally eat. I got a good, hey, I know where to go. I don't know where to go when it comes to Italian food. So I'm coming to you guys for some help. Where you think I should go.
Two things. One, the fact you've been to Anthony's, amazing. People don't know about Anthony's. Anthony's is good. Two, have you been to Lydia's?
No, I don't know nothing about Lydia's.
You don't know
that's
about Lydia's?
Look at you. I don't know. I'm not coming to this. You know, sometimes I come from a place of like, I'm legitimately, I don't know.
You got to hit up Lydia's.
That's why I'm asking.
Lydia's is straight down. I know where
all
you
right,
live.
So it's Lydia's. Okay, let me write this down. I'm serious. Lydia's.
Mm-hmm. It's over by the Freight House, Jack Stack. Ride the streetcar down there. Have yourself an amazing meal.
I can ride the streetcar?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I had your back here. I knew your house. I knew the whole. I got you hooked up with Lydia's.
So hold on. So you're telling me with Lydia's, I can just take the streetcar and I could go right to Lydia's. Where is it at again? Tell me where it is.
It's like over by the Jack Stack and the Freight House area. It's go to Lydia's. I think it's like 22nd in Baltimore, maybe?
Yeah, some of these places I've been to, like I've been to Jasper's on State Line. I've been to, is it Maggiano's? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I've been to Maggiano's. It's been a while, though, since I've been to Maggiano's. I went to Jasper maybe like 2 years ago. But, yeah, right now, I just been going to Garozzo's, A, because I like it, and I don't really know where else to go. So on Mondays at Garozzo's, they let you take your own bottle of wine in, and they don't charge you a corkage fee. So you know me. I'm walking in with the Purtle from Weston. I walk in with the Purtle. And I can have a good meal, and hey, this was a great time. I enjoy this.
Man, you are really expanding your horizons here, 2023. You're on the water kick now. You're out here drinking more wine than usual. You're on a wine kick. Now you're moving to the Italian route. Look at you.
Someone said, CDOT, you're in your 30s now. This is not the time to fall in love with Italian food. I did not like Italian food until probably, I'm going to say I didn't like it. That just wasn't a place that I would ever suggest or go out to eat at. That just wasn't the kind of food that I would go get. But now, that might be my number one pick. Like, if you're like, hey, let's go get something to eat, I would suggest going to an Italian place. That's what I would suggest right now.
Yeah, Lydia's is the spot. I cannot suggest Lydia's highly enough.
Okay, Lydia's, Ragazzi, how you pronounce this one?
Oh, Ragazza?
Ragazza,
the one
okay,
in Westport?
Right.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I struggle with pronouncing words sometimes. Mm-hmm. I struggle with this. Ragazza, is that how you pronounce it?
I see a lot of people in the text line saying Farina. Farina's okay. Really good. Farina is it's a little bit heavy on the wallet. Farina's good. It's a little heavy
okay,
on the
so
wallet.
Okay, you're saying Farina's a cool place to go like once a year, maybe
yeah.
twice.
Like
okay.
if you're gonna be like, I'm gonna
Farina's
really
not a place. Hey, it's Monday. Let's get like that's no. one of Rosos. Like you can have a good meal like a Rosos and spend what $70-$80. Like that's going out to eat. That's how much it's gonna cost. Farina's that's not okay. All right, that's,
Farina
thank you.
Is like the it's like the Majestic for Italian food. It's really good and you're gonna love it. But you're not gonna be like, hey, it's a regular Thursday. Let's head on over to Farina. That's not how it goes
okay.
down.
Okay. Someone said Toscano's is in Buckner, Missouri. There's a winery across the street. Where's Buckner, Missouri?
I'm not the Missouri guy on this show.
Would
you tell me where Buckner, Missouri is?
Why is it because I live in Missouri now
that's
I'm supposed to know
works.
Everything? Don't you hate that when people realize you work in sports? They'll ask you some obscure thing and you're like, well, aren't you I'm not all-knowing on sports. I don't know every single thing there is to ever know about sports. I do not know. I might know a little bit more than you know about sports. I just also spend more time thinking and talking about it than you. So, yeah,
first
but
off,
I don't know everything.
It would be
just
nice
I live
to get
in Missouri. I know every single city. Mm-hmm. What zip code is it in?
I would love to be asked about actual sports things. So I go out. You know what people ask me? Hey, what's Carrington like? That's what I get. What's he like in real life? Leave me alone. Buckner, Missouri is down 24 Highway.
What's their mascot?
I mean, I don't know nothing about.
That's what I'm saying. I don't
it's
know
in
anything about
it's in Jackson County. There you go.
This isn't it. This
it's got 3,000 people.
This isn't in Jackson County.
Buckner, Missouri is a city in Jackson County, Missouri, United States. Population 3,000. Best known for its best known for its TV and radio commercials promoting an automobile dealership. So that's not a ringing endorsement.
Somebody said it's located past Fort Osage High School. I've never been over there. I don't know where that is, actually. It's a long way away. Why would I ever go over there?
Text Skylar Thompson. Head over there, a little Fort Osage High School ball and whatever that Italian place was.
I like right now in the text lines, like, Sita, how do you not know? It's literally next to Richmond. I don't know where Richmond is. You said Richmond like it's a recognizable place. It's right next to Richmond. I don't know where that is. What in my life would ever cause me to go to Richmond, Missouri? Someone said you need to go to V's. I actually have been to V's. I've been to V's recently, actually. I've been to V's. All right, this was actually really, this was a good segment. I learned a lot of places to go. I've learned a lot of places. I appreciate this. This was fun. I thank you so much for you guys' help and helping me expand my Italian food horizons. Thank you. That's much appreciated. I might go today to one of these places. I am kind of hungry, and I know the next couple of days I'm going to be very busy with the basketball.
Head over to Richmond.
I don't know where that is. I don't know where that is. Tomorrow, John Kurtz is going to be in studio the entire show. K-State fans, I'm tired of hearing you complain. It's The Drive.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.